music was turned on, so it immediately blasted my ears when I hit record. Very good.
Amazing.
Hello, and welcome to episode 11 of the Provisional Nerf News Network podcast. I'm KT. I'm here this week with Vile Mods and JoltKing627. Say what's up.
What's up? Perfect.
This, as always, is the companion podcast to episode 11 of the Provisional Nerf News Network show. Generally, the podcast makes a little more sense if you watch the episode, although we usually kind of wind up recapping a lot of stuff anyway that we actually wind up talking about. I will also say, if you're an avid listener, you can probably tell my voice is a little bit messed up, and I actually have a concert and a recording session this weekend, so I say this every episode, but we're going to try and keep it pretty short this week. We're going to talk about how some new information about the Mark IV and the X-Shot Longshot may be changing the primary Springer field. We're going to play What's That Blaster, our game where we guess blasters based on their official Nerf descriptions. We're going to speculate a little bit on what blasters Buzzbee might consider re-releasing. And we're also going to talk a little bit more about Dart Zone Blaster Bash. I know that we keep talking about it on this show, but like, we're just not giving it any more airtime on the show at this point, and they keep sort of developing it, and it just keeps raising more questions. I kind of want to try to get to the bottom of it.
You answer one question and open up two more.
That is precisely true. I think that's precisely true. So with that, let's get right into our first topic, which we talked about both the Mark IV and the X-Shot Longshot on the show this week. The Longshot is such a big news story, as it's yet another company that is coming out with a Pro Line half-dart compatible blaster. And a whole line, supposedly. We've only really seen the Longshot in detail at this point. But that's been really, really big news, especially with its $40 price point.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. This is a budget blaster. This is big news. And I would say, like, beyond any features the blaster has, this is the biggest hobby advancement since the Dart Zone Pro. I'm going to say that right now, because Zuru
the Nexus Pro was considered such a like game changer at its price point.
This is not what I mean. Not because of price point. Now the Nexus did was it opened up people going into Walmart and seeing that. I actually have a good friend, GSP, who got into the hobby because he found a Nexus Pro on the shelf and thought, yo, this is cool. Zuru does this for outside the U.S., because Dart Zone, for all their greatness, they do not have a very wide reach at all.
That is such a good point.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For frick's sake, they're getting the long shot is on shelves now in the U.K.
Yep.
To put that in perspective, people in the U.K. who wanted a Nexus Pro had to wait, 6 months for them to show up on Blaster Time at a price hike because of all the international shipping and whatever?
And other countries are now getting this first.
Yeah. We started seeing Insanity. The Insanity stuff.
Like, no matter your opinion of the blaster, this is going to bring people into the hobby.
Yeah.
That's great. That's so true. Okay, so we also talked about how the Mark IV, which is definitely more of a boutique item, turns out to have internals which are almost fully compatible with the Worker Swift.
It's a Swift inside.
Yeah, which is a big surprise, and
we were not expecting all of that metal.
Totally.
Like, granted, it's not quite technically as nice as the Swift, because the Swift, I believe, is machined aluminum, while this is cast metal.
Right.
But still, that's a huge improvement over plastic internals. This is big.
It is. It's a really, really big deal, and
it helps to explain the price point, is what it does.
Yes. Yes, it definitely does. And I feel like it does make it a more viable option for a lot of people. Like, I definitely saw people in the hobby who had been sort of ignoring it get this information and go, oh, and like immediately order one. Like, it definitely crosses a line, I think, for some people. So what I kind of want to talk about today is with these new pieces of information, in addition to, you know, the unicorn is getting in people's hands, and we're starting to see information about the unicorn, which we talked about last time being something that is very directly influenced by the hobby, in that there was a prominent hobbyist assisting its design. How does this, you know, we got asked to pick what we thought was going to be the dominant major brand Springer primary last episode in our Q&A. Like, how does this change our answers?
Oof.
I don't think it does for me.
I don't know.
You're still going with the Tryon?
Yes. And although technically now the Tryon, like the X-Shot Pro does have a place here now, I would say. But I don't think the Dart Zone Mark IV changes much of anything because just of its price tag and size.
Yeah, there's a right. huge price
because
variant.
It's still like I'm still small. The metal internals don't change the fact that the blaster's too big for me.
Yeah, and I was going to say the same thing. Like the price point and entry point is going to definitely make a huge difference. I already have a Swift. There was absolutely zero need for me to get a MK4 at this point. Now, you know, maybe I want the Ergo, maybe I like it. I don't know. I'm like Jolt. I'm, you know, smaller guy. And but the long shot, the X shot blaster specifically, that is such a, again, knocking down a barrier for price point. We saw really good numbers from what was, you know, being just blasted through us like basically today of all this information of what it's capable of, the fact that it's going to be very similar performance levels of, you know, Nexus Pro or Aeon Pro type blasters with, yep. with, you know,
shout out to Vile here. How many times did you have to re-record this segment?
I had to do it three different times because information kept coming up and I had to redo it, upload it. More information came in, redo it, upload it, more information. I was like, good God. But yeah, I think that price point and the fact that, again, if you talk about worldwide, X-Shot being on shelves already, like we saw some of the Insanity line showing up in the Philippines and Pacific Islands. And now we're seeing the long shot already hitting UK shelves. Like this is
Insanity series is up there too.
Yeah, and same thing with the Insanity, but the point saying is like for the pro level, that is already meaning that you're getting this pro level blaster worldwide way before Dart Zone was ever able to get it, way before anybody else was. I mean, really the only option you had for the most part was Worker because you had to import Dart Zone stuff, which, you know, at that point you might as well just buy Worker stuff. So,
and even then, Worker stuff isn't on store shelves.
Exactly. And that's
the
thing.
You have to already know it exists.
Yeah. And that's so, again, I think the long shot's going to make, at least internationally, maybe not so much, you know, stateside, just because we have had a bunch of pro level blasters that have been on store shelves for a while now. Maybe it's not going to necessarily change the game as much here, but at least internationally, it is, I think it's definitely going to make a huge impact.
Now, beyond the reach here, let's talk about the blaster. I guess the best analogy, obviously, is it's a Lynx for $40 and injection molded.
It's kind of a weird combo of a Lynx and a Tauros. So, like, the Tauros was...
Yeah, well, like, I mean, in function.
Yeah, I mean, and we were kind of looking through it and a lot of the internal photos and stuff like that, and it's a really cool design. I have to get it. I have to because I am
so... Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I have to know what's going on. The secondary spring that apparently
it's
floats...
It's like a cushion.
Yeah, it dampens it. It floats in the plunger tube, which is also... I never thought...
That's very strange.
Well,
I would have expected them to glue it or have it captive like you see on like internals where the trigger return will stick to the trigger when you remove it.
I mean, there's no real need.
Tab in there.
But I mean, there's no real need.
I mean, it's one of those functions that, like, it makes sense if you think about it, but, like, who thinks of that?
Yeah. Well,
and clearly they put some research into this design.
Oh, yeah.
Because if I remember correctly, the Tauros by Orion Blasters was kind of abandoned because I think the actual, like, barrel through plunger tube system proved to be a little inconsistent.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that.
No, that was something that I when we were talking about it originally, you know, when this popped up and everybody realized, oh, it's this, the research I did as well was very similar. It was inconsistency problems. I think it was the, if I remember correctly, it was the plunger head actually sealing to the barrel, since the barrel has to run directly through it. And that's, I think it was issues with that in particular. But yeah, even,
which makes sense. There's a reason that this is kind of an out of the box design. It's not technically the best for performance. It's just a space saver.
Right. Kind of. And it was what I'm curious about. And, you know, kind of into your question of why didn't they keep the spring there? I was trying to mention it before, was that it could be due to manufacturing reasons. Maybe it's just complicated. Maybe it's just, you know, cheaper and easier to just let it float, because clearly it's not doing anything wrong. Apparently, from what we're getting on reports, consistency is actually not that bad.
I think I heard the theory in a server I'm in that it's that way to make sure that, like, metal burrs from the spring rubbing on the barrel don't as easily get into the plunger tube.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe.
That's just a theory, of course.
Yeah, and that's that is very much a possibility, but it's definitely a different one.
Theory. Sorry, I had to do that when you said that. Carry on.
But no, it's a fascinating design. I'm very curious with it. We're already kind of like, all of us are just mulling over the images and, you know, contemplating, oh, what's going to be next? What was this the weak point? Is this that? But we did see that, you know, a 14 kilogram long shot, Nerf long shot. This is going to be fun trying to make sure we keep these separated between Nerf long shot and X shot long shots. Like, there's a difference between the two.
That's already just, even if there wasn't another long shot, X shot long shot is already
confusing.
Kind of a funky name. I like the name for the blast, and I like, you know, it's kind of fun to have a long shot be one of the, like, potentially one of the, like, leading blasters.
Yeah.
Again, but it is weird.
Why don't we just call it the Zuru?
And, like, keeping track of mod kits and parts is going to be awkward.
Yeah, we'll just call it the Zuru long shot. How about that? I mean, we could just go with that. But either ways, if from the images that we were seeing, you know, a 14 kilogram Nerf long shot spring in, like, from Worker inside of that was hitting 200 plus FPS, apparently up to almost 220 on Worker Gen 3 plus. That's incredible. That's, again, that is really not that far off from a Nexus Pro on performance, and apparently fairly consistent. Now, they're obviously, like most things, we're going to see weaknesses develop, and, you know, the plastic, the catch, the whatever, we'll figure it out as time goes on, but it's still, like, that is very, very promising. And I really want to see everything torn apart, because all of our images are just kind of the shell taken off, and that's about it. So I'm
shout out here to Cell 73 out over on the Federation of United Nerfers Discord for getting us internal photos. And thank you also to, I'm probably going to butcher this pronunciation, Krigen, the guy from Blaster Time, for answering a lot of our questions.
Yeah, really helped us
super,
a lot.
Super helpful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had a lot of people tossing us information on this one. Like, there was a lot to parse and a lot going on. I mean, you already said this, right? We were re-recording it and rewriting the script over and over and over again as new stuff was coming out. But it was hard too, right? Because when the blaster first dropped, was literally the day we released an episode. And all these people leaving comments like, oh, it's, I wonder if anything else big has happened lately. And it's like, yeah, we recorded this episode like 4 days ago.
Yeah.
What do you expect from us? But you know, now we get to cover sort of all of the concrete information that actually exists. Because this thing, between the leak and the appearance, was not much time, really.
It was 2 weeks?
Like, a lot of Nerf stuff leaks, and then we see it like 3 months later.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
And this was like, really just, clearly it was already starting to arrive in international stores. And then, you know, we got to see early listings.
Yeah.
The timeline there is really speedy. I was not expecting to see anything about this for months.
Yeah. Well, the speculation on some of the websites was saying August, actually. So,
I think,
you know,
the guy from Blaster Time, I won't try and butcher that or pronunciation. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. he was saying about the, what was it? The NDA or whatever it's called.
Embargo.
Or the embargo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he was told it was August as well, and then people started finding them in stores, and they said, oh, yeah, it's moved up and gone.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Things change. People change, I guess. So, looping it back to our initial question, I feel like you said, you know, the Zuru long shot has a real chance to sort of be the international Nexus Pro in the cultural sense, where the Nexus opened up so many people to the hobby because of its wide availability, and this has an opportunity because of its price point to do the same thing. I think that the Mark IVs, knowing more about the Mark IV's internals, is going to bump it up somewhat in the hobby. But like you said, it's always going to be limited by its size, just in terms of who can and can't use it. But it is interesting to feel like, you know, when the Harrier first came out, it was kind of like, oh, well, this is the blaster for the hobby now. Like, this is in terms of like off the shelf blasters, or not a literal shelf since you have to order it, like we said. But like, I feel like if you are a person in the hobby who knows all of the options, there's more of a level playing field between the Harrier, the Mark IV, the Unicorn, and the Trion, even, where you're kind of looking at them and actually balancing, because like they all seem like they're all worth the money that's being asked for them. Whereas it was not totally certain that that was true in terms of the Mark IV in particular, mm-hmm. until we knew more about its internals, right?
I will say that I love that there's so many options now. Like, like 5-6 years back, there were nowhere near this many options. You were getting a Prophecy, or upgrading your Retaliator, or upgrading your like long shot, like, or getting a Caliburn.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
There just weren't this many options. Now we have all the 3D printed designs you could ever want. And we've got injection molded everything. Hell, we have injection molded gimmicks with things like the Conquest Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And machined parts, too.
We've progressed this far.
Yeah. A lot of machined parts. That's another one. A lot of metal, you know, machined.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff can just handle the abuse now. They don't, you know, you're not trying to get through a game hoping that you don't snap your blaster or parts snap inside of it or whatever. Yep. You can really just cut it going.
I've had that happen.
Yeah.
So I feel like. The answer now, I feel like this does change the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Jolt prefers the Trion, and that's fine. I haven't gotten to play with one yet, but like, I think there is a more level playing field than we expected between a lot of the blasters, is what I'm trying to say. Like, this new info about the Mark IV really does change that. The Trion is always going to be an awesome, like, in between choice, right? So if we have these blasters, like the long shot, that are the thing you can discover in a Walmart when you've never heard of the hobby before, and the Trion is like the next step up, or if you already really know what you're doing but you don't want to put a ton of money in, you can get a really quality blaster in the Trion for such a low price.
Oh yeah, Trion, haven't said it before, absolute S tier blaster for the price.
Yeah,
thing is gonna I use that a whole lot at the last park where I went to, and I'm going to be bringing it to every event in the foreseeable future, because I love that thing.
I need to get one. I really
They're
do.
Nice. You really do. They're awesome.
I have one.
I will. I don't have a lot of money to throw blasters right now.
Fair
but
enough.
I will. It'll happen. It'll happen. So yeah, I think it has changed for the better. I'm really excited about where we're at.
Well, I want to mention one last thing that we do probably want to cover just real quick. I don't want to spend too much time on it. The new half darts that X-Shot is giving. We did find out that they are just under a gram, which is kind of an interesting thing, because we were originally, obviously people were getting the worker ones, and I mentioned it in the episode. They're slightly heavier, and we need that mass for distance. But for FPS, lighter, obviously, we had the bamboos, and then the bamboo 2.0 or whatever it was that Dart Zone made. And it was still, what was it, 0.85 grams or something like that. And now this one is kind of weirdly in between what the Dart Zone made for their bamboo, you know, 2.0s and workers. So it's an interesting mix now. We now have darts that are fairly light for higher FPS, but we also have darts that are, you know, a little bit heavier for more mass, which is good for distance. And I kind of am curious how these new darts are going to perform in blasters. I'm curious about the foam. I'm curious about the size of them, you know, like the diameter of them, how they're going to fit in the barrels. So again,
well, and we've talked about this before where now that there are so many manufacturers making short darts and we have a scene where people can sort of specialize, it seems like we're heading towards a point where different dart types can be used. Like, mm-hmm. you tune your blaster for a specific dart in an attempt to achieve a specific goal. Obviously, accuracy is always important, but, you know, if you're spraying half darts out of a flywheeler, it's a very different situation than if you are trying to pinpoint a dart at long distance. So I'm curious to see if that'll happen.
That brings up one very final point for the X-Shot long shot. It has a scar.
Yeah,
that would, I believe, be the first that's scar right. on store shelves, because the Mark IV has one, but that's not going to be on shelves.
It's not on store true. Shelves. Yeah. That is very, very
and
true.
And that's also meaning that the X-Shot is going to be a competitor to Dart Zone's half darts that are on shelves. That's going to be the first competitor to those half darts that are literally going to be on shelves. That's another really mm-hmm. interesting point.
Mm.
So we have a lot to look forward to.
Knowing that Nerf has half darts on the horizon, mm-hmm. and that X Shot is going to beat Nerf.
I'm worried about that just because it's been so long since we got that little teaser for Nerf Ball, and it was supposed to be like this summer or something. And it's June.
I mean, the summer has not started. The summer has not actually, despite the heat that I'm sitting in currently. The summer has not
it's
started.
Baking hot. But still, like,
and Nerf definitely likes to keep things close to their chest right before release. So it's hard to imagine Hasbro complete, like, considering some of the things that have been leaked out of Hasbro that everybody reacted really negatively to, and they released them anyway. I can't imagine that this thing would get
dropped. They have canceled things in the past, like Smart Darts. I know that was at least developed enough. I think that made it to Toy Fair, maybe? I can't remember now. But
not so smart after all, huh?
Maybe. We'll see. I'm hoping that the Nerf ball thing, whatever it is, comes. Yeah. I want to see Hasbro short darts, even if they suck. But we'll have to see.
God, what if they were just elite darts?
Just cut in half. Just
oh no, competitive God, elite darts.
Terrible.
That would not be
no.
great.
Okay. I'd run it.
So we're going to front load this episode a little bit and jump right into What's That Blaster, our game that we play every episode, where one member of the team picks a official Nerf blaster and reads the official Nerf description, and the rest of the team attempts to guess what the blaster is. If everybody guessing has the opportunity to earn 4 points, but you also can fill in, if you can't quite guess it, you can ask for 3 lifelines, which are the original release year of the blaster, the original stock capacity of the blaster, and the original retail price, which each of those lifelines that you receive, you lose 1 potential point. Currently, the score is a thing that I forgot to open up on my screen, which means that I'm a professional podcaster and I know exactly what I'm doing. But the situation's a little bit unusual this week because we don't have Grim with us, who jumped in on the game a little while back. But maybe we'll just give Grim, if we can get it, maybe we'll just give Grim honorary points.
I think that's fair.
Big guessing this week, just so he doesn't fall behind, because last week he actually managed to catch up with Vile.
I know.
Currently, the score is
Jolt.
Currently, Grims and Vile are tied with 13 points. I have 17 points. Jolt has 18 points. So with Jolt picking this week, it gives the rest of us a chance to catch up.
We'll see. I think I've got a good one here.
Jolt feels pretty confident, I think, with today's blaster, so we will see what happens.
Y'all ready?
I am ready if Vile is ready.
I'm totally ready.
All right.
Let's go.
Head into battle with the Nerf Blank Blaster. It features an easy grip handle with a slim dart barrel for extra precision. Keep this slim, lightweight blaster nearby for missions that require high mobility, stealth, and fast action.
That's it.
Enjoy. Slim barrel. Okay. I'm going to throw this out there, Vile. I am extremely suspicious that this is the Jolt.
Do you think it's the Jolt? Or do you think it's the... it could be the Jolt, but it could also be... I doubt it. I was going to say the Pocket Blast or whatever that one was called. But I don't know, because terminology has always thrown us off, and that's where it's like frustrating.
Remember that the first one Jolt did, the Snapfire Delta?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that, it was the Snapfire, but without
Sharp
that weird
fire.
Stock thing? Sharp yeah. Fire? Sorry. Wait, what is the Snapfire?
Snapfire is a little single shot.
I'm asking Vile. You're on the other team.
Whatever.
Don't worry, we'll just take that. Snapfire, I don't remember actually what the Snapfire was.
Do you want me to tell you?
I always forget them because Sharpfires and Snapfires, like the names, I always get them mixed. That's the problem.
Exactly. I did that.
It's that Direct Prime Jolt, basically. It's the one piece, like, handle plunger tube barrel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
That thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Cheese grater grip, basically.
Yeah.
Jolt's giving us that one.
Okay. Well,
I don't. Dark Capacity is not going to help us either.
No.
Year release is going to be another weird one.
Retail price, I feel like, could be useful.
Yeah, retail price might help us with this one.
I mean, it would at least eliminate the Jolt.
Why. Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah, because
Where is the retail price on this? I'm actually looking down the article. Where do they not?
It should be on the top right.
It's usually
on
the sidebar.
Box.
I'm looking at the sidebar and it is not telling me, and I am not happy about that. What the heck?
Wasn't actually released.
Well,
Jolt's
giving
us
that out. Do we have any other suggestions? Can you read it one more time, Jolt?
Sure. Head into battle with the Nerf Blank Blaster. It features an easy grip handle with a slim dart barrel for extra precision. Keep this slim, lightweight blaster nearby for missions that require high mobility, stealth, and fast action.
My problem with it is hearing all the stealth stuff, and that's what's frustrating. I know it can't be Rebel, because Rebel normally...
There'd be different
language. Yeah, they very much go into a lot of details.
Yeah.
About, like, you know, the mission. Because the thing is with mission, that is a Rebel thing, though. That's the problem. There's some verbiage that's going into the Rebel line, and that's what really is frustrating about this.
Let me ask you this, Jolt. Is the blank at the beginning just one word? Is it just the name of the blaster?
I mean, it is the name of the blaster, but I believe the... Let me double check. I was trying to look up
the name of the line also in there? Because I think one of the things that we probably need to figure out is, like, when you... it like, if there's two things that you're blanking out, you should say blank twice.
Okay, so
Or, like, what I usually say is,
it is three words.
Blank, line, go. You know,
so it is three words, one of which is the series.
So I don't know. I feel like we should either ask for the retail price or the era.
Or trying to find the retail price and it's not telling.
Okay, maybe we should just ask for the year.
Yeah, let's just ask for the.
I'm sorry.
We'll go with the year first.
Okay, what's the year? What's the year, Jolt?
Let me check.
Oh my God.
Year. Sorry, I was trying to look up the price. 2017.
Oh, that's recent.
Oh.
Wow, that Rebel would be the last thing that was really within that time frame that I could think of. That's again, because if this is the, like, is this going to be something stupid like the Rebel, like, secret strike or some crap? I really hate it because
what has like a long, they're talking about, yes, being stealthy and having like a long barrel for accuracy.
It said a slim barrel for mobility and stuff like that. Yeah. And then it was talking about for the mission. And the problem is the ones that usually used that was the Rebel line. But the problem is that if it's a single shot or whatever, and especially if it's got three names, if it's the Rebel, one of the Joltoid, you know, variants, I don't know what they were called. That's the problem.
Right.
Because I've sent Jolt one of these variants, and I don't know what the freaking name is.
Yeah, I don't know what these things are called, man.
Oh, man.
We're so hopeless. Jolt was so hopeless in the face of Jolt's expertise. Should we just, what's the secret shot? Isn't that a thing?
Would you like, I will tell you this right now. What, would you like a hint?
What is the hint?
The hint is a fun trivia fact. This blaster was not sold in California, Massachusetts, or Washington, D.C. And I'll leave it at that.
What?
What?
Why would that be?
I can't say anymore.
Is this... Well, oh my god. Is this what I think it is? Is this that stupid... that, like... Do you remember the one that was that folds open, KT? It was like...
Oh, the like the purse one?
No. There was another one. There was this really small single shot one that would fold open. Oh my god, what is the name of that thing?
The name is Mini Mischief, I believe.
Is that what that was called?
I think that's what it's called. Let me look it up. I'm 95% sure that's what it is.
I don't remember. I almost got one of those, but it was in such horrible condition I never picked it up.
Isn't that pretty early Rebel though?
I don't remember.
I feel like that's older Rebel. Look, I think it would have said something about folding. I can't imagine.
True.
You would have a description and not have folding in that description, which is like the point of it.
I don't know. This is such a hard one. Because again, I have a feeling that it's something stupid like the Rebel secret shot. Well, no, it couldn't be the secret shot.
What even is that? We keep saying that name, but we don't know what it is.
Is the secret shot the, isn't that the purse? Isn't that that weird purse one?
Well,
I forget what the purse is called.
The
I gotta
vintage...
be honest.
There's the secret shot is the like vintage one. Mm-hmm. And then I think the purse is the secret shot. Yeah.
I don't know. They reuse and rehash names so much. Yeah. Ugh.
This was clearly, this was a good choice on my part, at least
like
for
long
me.
Long shot, for example.
Yeah. We've already got long shot a million
times.
Okay.
Well, we've eliminated the one, like we had one thing that was like a throw at the wall guess, which was secret shot, and we've now eliminated that.
Yeah.
So we're doing great. I have no idea, dude. I got nothing. I at least would have been like, okay, well, I can just guess Jolt. We should have just guessed Jolt at 4 points and just been wrong and been like, well, we tried.
Just moved on.
But now we're like deep in.
All right, it's the Rebel. I'm gonna take a stab at it. It's the Rebel secret Jolt there.
No, that's
I don't
not
think
a
that's
thing.
The name of a blaster.
That's not a thing. It's got to be at least like a real name.
Oh, why do you gotta do me like that? I don't know. Yeah,
what about 2017? What even came out? What else came out in 2017?
There's no way any of you will know this.
Probably not. It's
that's
gonna
why
be...
I picked it.
I just want to have some kind of guess. It doesn't have to be a good guess. It just has to be the actual name of a real blaster. That's
why don't we just go with the Modulus Ion Fire? Let's just go with that.
Modulus is Modulus. Know. Oh yeah, there was Modulus in 2017.
I'm pretty sure.
But
there
is the Ion Fire from that year?
I don't freaking know. I'm just thinking of stuff that's single shot.
I mean, we don't know that it's single shot.
I don't. Well, it said slim barrel. That's about all
slim
I know.
Barrel.
Based on what
slim barrel sounds like the name of like a gangster.
It sounds like a meat stick.
Hey, hey, I know a guy.
There's a guy
named
Slim Barrel.
Slim Barrel
over
there. He'll fix you right up, see?
Yeah. You don't want to mess with Slim Barrel.
Title name. You don't want to mess with Slim Barrel. Write that down. Write that down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, but seriously, what's your final guess?
I don't know. Okay. The what was the one you just said? The Ion Fire or whatever?
Yeah.
That is all right. That's a blaster with a name. Let's just go with it. We got to get this over with. We need to move on.
All right. Your final answer is Ion Fire. Well, that is sure. That is of course incorrect.
Right.
So, okay, great. What the blaster. Please make us hate ourselves.
Is the Blow Dart Blaster. And the reason it was not sold in California, Massachusetts, or Washington, D.C. is because blow guns are illegal there.
All right, I'm looking this stupid thing up
now. Yeah, I'm going to have to look this
blow
up,
Blow dart
too.
Blaster.
Oh,
yes, it exists.
I hate this so much.
Oh,
it literally doesn't have a retail price here. What the hell?
Yeah. You see what I'm saying here? Wiki screwed me.
Oh, it's a Nerf-branded perpetual playgroup blaster.
Oh my god.
Wow. Yeah, I hate this a lot.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Cuz apparently they had a Zombie Strike variant and an Elite variant.
You didn't know about these? How did you not know about? Coop reviewed these. These are mainstream.
I don't know nothing about blow darts. And this was before when I started. I'm like, I don't care. I had a real blowgun, okay? With real darts in it. I didn't do Nerf variant ones.
Hopefully you didn't still have that while you were living in California.
Right. No score. Thanks,
sorry,
I hate it. Let's move on with our lives.
I did it!
Please.
I stumped them!
Jolt's gonna hate it when I stump him next time.
This is revenge for last time.
Alright, moving on.
Sorry.
Please. we reported in the show that... in an interview with Maritime Foam, Mongoose Jake let on a bit that Busby has been working on the possibility, this is in no way confirmed to be happening, but the possibility of bringing back some classic designs. I transcribed the relevant part of this conversation. And here's the relevant part of the transcript. I'm not going to read it word for word because that would be annoying, but... the original question by Counter Clockwork, would give anything for a Sentinel re-release. The prices on those have gotten insane. Jake initially says, I can't share anything, but then he says, I can tell you that Busby is working on re-releasing some very, very popular blasters from the past. And then says, that's been in the works since last year. I can't share it because it's under not a legal NDA, but an understood one. But if they do follow through with it, it would literally break the market. There were three that they were looking at. They would literally shatter the reselling market if they do re-release these. You know, like certain colors of the Snipe, the Sentinel, and the Brute. Those aren't the three, but as an example, they were all $20 or less, and they now cost like $60 or more, and they go on a little bit. So, what we have is, at some point, possibly still, but maybe not, Busby was looking at re-releasing some classic blasters that currently have high resale prices. So, we've talked about this a little bit already, and we're pretty confident that one of them would still be the Sentinel. You know, Jake says that the three he listed, the Sentinel, the Snipe, and the...
Brute.
It's not those three, but that doesn't mean that one or two of them couldn't be in the list.
Oh, yeah. There's no way the Sentinel isn't at the top of the list. Like, that's the top of
everyone's
expected list.
Why would they even
list.
Do this if they weren't going to do the Sentinel,
yeah,
right?
Like, there would be no point. The Sentinel is probably the most desired Busby blaster of all time, other than maybe the 4B.
I mean, I want one.
I want one, too.
Yeah. How many do you have, Vile?
I have never actually come across a Sentinel, but I've come across the Rapid.
Really? Oh, that's surprising,
I've actually come across the...
They're rare.
They are rare. The rapid tech, though. So I have come across...
Oh, yeah, the rapid fire tech.
Yeah, the rapid fire tech. I've come across the lever action variants from Busby, but every time I do, they are just completely just demolished. The lever
Busby plastic
quality, something's missing out of them, something's snapped. They're always in terrible shape. So
okay, so what is other stuff though in the Busby world that has relatively high? I'm kind of just looking through the wiki list of Busby blasters. I know that isn't the Big Blast.
Yeah, the Busby monster? Big Blast would be, I'd say, near the top of the list, because those are pretty highly valued.
So here's the question though: are they highly valued because of the mod capabilities, or are they highly valued just because they're
that?
Or would that
and
matter?
They're kind of. I think they're kind of hard to find. Probably one of the reasons for that is a lot of the earlier ones, they have an issue with the trigger, I believe, where it'll snap. So yeah. I can imagine just like 95 crossbows, it breaks, parent throws it out.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's a real possibility is the Big Blast. I think it would be more likely that they would do that than the Berserker.
Oh, yeah. I do not see the same Berserker kind of rocket. Coming back.
Berserker's a weird one. Yeah. It's cool. I would love to find one, don't get me wrong, but it's hard to imagine them picking that.
Yeah.
For reissue.
Yeah, something like a 4B or, you know, Big Blast or something like that. It's kind of rare, though, and I don't know. You know, we haven't seen air tank stuff like the, you know, that in a while, like the Berserkers and stuff. I don't even remember when the last Berserkers were really made. And then obviously, what was the other one? It had a similar tank, but it was a little bit smaller, and it was
Ultimate Missile Blast.
Which one was it?
Ultimate Missile Blast. I was just looking.
I think it is the Missile Blast. Yeah, it was something like that. But it's basically
or Mega Missile.
There's also the XBZ. Yeah, that's a good one.
Are you talking about the Mega Missile?
It might have been the Mega Missile. No. Either way,
Missile Blast.
They all use very similar air tanks, or at least some kind of a variant. There's I have all those tanks because I have
XBZ is a different tank.
I've demolished a lot of tanks or a lot of these blasters for their tanks.
Like the 4B tanks and Berserker tanks are basically very similar where they're pinpole, but I believe the XBZ, isn't that a back pressure tank?
I actually don't remember.
With I'm pretty sure it's a back pressure tank because it has a button that you can just push.
Okay.
And that's why it's so easy to mount on everything, because you don't have to build a gigantic, extremely reinforced trigger mechanism that can take the strain. You can just boop button.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not really sure, but either way, you know, any type of air pressure vessel like that, whether it's vacuum or you know, a pressure vessel, we haven't really seen them in a while. So I'm curious if they'd be willing to bring it back, because I mean, even
my concern with it would be, these days, I think one of the reasons that you don't see too many air tank blasters is a lot of them infamously had quality control issues.
Yeah.
Even back then, I actually thrifted a Berserker that was from the factory, it wouldn't have worked. Basically, inside the pin valve, one of the parts isn't made correctly, and air leaks out the front of the tank.
Well, maybe part of the idea would be for them to do it right this time. There might be value in that, because some of those designs, you know, they're still desirable, and part of the reason they're desirable is so many of them failed. And so if they redid it and they did it the design right,
also like Hasbro, you know, dropping the constant air pressure and all of their pressure tanks for their you know, Super Soaker line, because
except when they brought the Super Soaker pressure ones and then like the Magstrike pressure ones, they got worse.
Yeah, and they had the bladder systems, but when you're talking about older ones like constant pressures where they actually had a pressure vessel, they no longer paid for the license for that, and they just let it die off, and then they just never did it. Now it's all HAMPS basically, right? And in Busby's case, it's the opposite.
Well, they did do the Moto Blitz and the
Mediator
Barrel.
They did bring that back.
Those are back pressure tanks.
But they're smaller tanks, because you're having to think about propelling.
Because it's individual barrels.
Right, yeah. So if they brought back something like that, I mean, I'd be excited for it, because I would love to get better quality air tanks, hopefully, you know, if they were. That would be my favorite go-to, because I really love ripping those air tanks out of stuff. I have probably 8 of them.
I know you do.
I have a lot of them.
He does. I've seen them. He has like a whole bin of them. Or at least he did at one
point. No, I still have them.
Okay, so here's another approach to think about this with, too. What about things like the Gunsmoke?
Yeah.
Would they want to dabble? Would they want to dabble again in those kinds of gimmicks?
Like, they're cool, but they're not iconic.
It's not as like you're right that it's not as iconic, and I mean, I don't know what the resale market looks on those, like on those, you know. I mean, Walcom did a video on them.
You can still buy the rifle on Amazon. Like, you can still buy it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
the pistol is rare, but like almost no one really knows about it. So it's not. It's one of those not high demand
right
things. It was only released in Canada, apparently, which is why it's rare.
Hmm. Yeah, the gun smokes you could still get for $24 on Amazon.
Like, yep. So there is no, that's not the kind of thing that would quote unquote break the resale market. Things that would do that are things like the Sentinel or the 4B or
Panthers. Right. Original XBZ. Tank Panthers would be interesting.
Panthers.
All right, just one or two other things I want to throw at you. The Tyrant.
Yeah.
That Tyrant one would be a good one. But
Tyrant would be good.
That's more the mags that people want. I actually thrifted one of those on vacation.
People still reach out to them trying to buy the magazines all the time. So,
yeah.
If for no other reason.
It's true.
Than the mega magazines that hold, what is it? It's like 20?
It's 12.
12? That feels like 20. It's a lot.
Yeah.
In mega terms, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Well, that's a pretty good list. Like, there's definitely stuff other than the stuff that Jake mentioned that is appealing. So I, fingers crossed, man, I really hope they do a re-release. Honestly, any of these things coming back would be really cool. They did already redo, what's the other mega one with the shorter magazine?
The boss. I love the boss.
And
my favorite mega blaster.
I mean, you know, I did a little video on the boss when it first came out. I managed to find them, and it was not made as well as the original boss, so I really hope that if they do a re-release like this, they really do manage to keep the original quality. I know it's hard for Busby to control their factories. They don't have the kind of power to exert that a Hasbro does. Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed.
The factories are capable of doing it, but they won't necessarily if
they don't have to. Yeah. I know that there was a lot of behind the scenes stuff to make sure the try-in was done correctly. So, we'll see. Fingers crossed. Busby, please, yes. Please, yes. Give us re-releases.
Sentinel, please. Gimme.
Give us a Sentinel. Give us any of these things. Any of these things, for sure. And to cap off this episode, one last thing I want to talk about, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, because we have actually talked quite a bit about Dark Zone Blaster Bash. And it's a little funny to spend so much time on this because there are a lot of other interesting events going on that are community run right now, which I would love to give airtime to. But part of the reason that I don't need to give airtime to them is they're well run. They're great. And if you can get to them, you should go to them. The Gator HVZ event, the Dracula one, sounds really, really cool. End War will probably be great. I had an incredible time at Maryland Mayhem. All these events are great, and there isn't really anything to say except like maybe recapping them if we get to go to them afterwards.
PASF is in a couple days here, I think.
Oh, nice. Well, but Blaster Bash is interesting because Dart Zone is trying to do something new, and it seems like they are kind of stumbling over a lot of aspects of this. And the last time we talked about it, there were some new information had come up, and it created a lot more questions, like we said at the top of the show. And I kind of want to go through what they talked about in the podcast and sort of update what we talked about the last time we talked about this on our podcast. I also did find out last time, I was like, I don't know what Brendan's title is. Brendan's title is apparently creative director, I think, of the marketing department. That they said that at the beginning of the episode. It's funny because I almost feel like every time I watch their podcast, it kind of feels like they listen to our podcast, because like I ask questions and then they just get answered, but then I don't know. So, okay, let me just go through my notes and we can kind of discuss things as we come through them.
Oh boy.
One really interesting thing that they talk about on the podcast is they figured out with their legal department what they had to do to feel comfortable turning on their comment sections. Because I think they were just concerned about turning on comment sections because they're technically a toy company, you know, and whatever they had to do, they figured it out, and now any videos that they post that are related to their pro lines have comment sections turned on. So that's kind of cool. Really key to point out, I think, though, that when I last checked this podcast episode, which was primarily about Blaster Bash, but also had a little bit of stuff about, they showed a new gel blaster, and they talked about the Deuce Pro spring fix. All of the comments were about the Deuce Pro spring fix.
Yeah, that's what people actually cared about.
No, yeah, nobody asked anything about Blaster Bash.
Nobody asked about gel either, probably.
So the first thing they talk about with Blaster Bash, and this was, they had already sort of talked about how it's intended to be the start of a series of events that they do. But what was kind of new is that it's not actually a Dart Zone run event. It's a Dart Wars event, and Dart Zone is the title sponsor. This is similar to how Dart Zone Pro Tour works, where it is actually just Foam Pro Tour, or it was actually just Foam Pro Tour, but Dart Zone signed on as a title sponsor. And so this is the same thing, but instead of competitive play, it's casual PvP.
And then they also dropped things about the FPS cap, which is very interesting.
We'll definitely get to that, but I want to focus on this for just a second. So so what that means is all of the organizational questions that we've had about how the human versus zombies, which is now called
Zombie Attack or something.
Zombie Attack. That is actually a Dart Wars thing. And apparently they generally hire actors to play starting zombies. And this struck me as really weird, because it struck me as, you know, this whole podcast is here answering all of these questions about how the event works. But at the same time, they're sort of deflecting, like they start to answer the question about, like, you know, like, we recognize that people expect humans versus zombies to be free, and this one's a little bit different. And then they're like, but, you know, we don't really run that part. Dart Wars runs that part. Like, that's how it reflected to me. Was sort of deflecting those responsibilities onto Dart Wars. And knowing the history we know about Dart Wars, that's a little weird.
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, they shut down because of tax fraud, I think it was. So,
right, you mentioned that.
Yeah, this could be very interesting. They just kind of come out of nowhere with a sponsor. They legit now? Is this a different company?
And the fact that Dart Wars is essentially using the humans versus zombies template and calling it something different and charging for it, which is not supposed to be a thing that you're allowed to do because of the Creative Commons license, isn't really that different than Dart Zone doing a humans versus zombies and calling it something different and charging for it, even though you're not supposed to because of the Creative Commons license, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're calling it a partnership. You are all responsible for these choices and for how the event is run. Yep. So you can't pay to put your name on something and then deflect questions about how it's being run.
My biggest question is when they were saying, they were like, oh yeah, the Dart Wars people know how to do this. They do this every single day. And I'm like, they're open somewhere? When did they pop back up?
I mean, it sounds like they make it sound like they're a regular local organization now, and maybe they're just not advertising widely in the community anymore.
Maybe.
Again, I think for an organization, for a company like that, it's kind of like Nerf, where most of their market is not hobbyists. They can run a successful business like Dart Wars without ever talking to a hobbyist, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You stock a bunch of rival blasters, you stock a bunch of stock Nerf blasters, you stock a bunch of Reflex Sixes, and you get birthday parties every single day, kids coming in to play. You don't ever have to talk to a hobbyist in order to do that. So it doesn't strike me as too weird that they would still exist after whatever stuff may have happened in the past. So anyway, yeah, I think it's weird that they're sort of like just deflecting organizational questions onto Dart Wars, even though they paid to put their name on top of the event. The ticket questions, right? The way that they are describing it now is that the time slots on the ticket website are orientation times. I had speculated last episode that the last two of these ticket slots, the time slots, were full because people paid for those time slots in the hope of doing that and then sticking around for the HVZ instead of hanging around all day. They make it sound in the episode like they actually shut those time slots off because they realized that they needed a gap between those time slots and the start of the HVZ for people to keep. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone pays for a 4 o'clock time and decides to play for 2 hours, they need to be able to get those 2 hours before the HVZ starts. But the thing that still bugs me is, if you want to go and play and then also participate in the HVZ, you have to buy tickets twice. You still can't buy a time slot and also then buy the HVZ ticket, the zombie attack tickets, without going back through the whole process again. You also, someone asked the question, can you buy multiple time slots? And their answer is like, we hope so.
They don't even know.
Yes or no.
Yeah, it's a yes or no.
I don't. Yeah, they're like, yeah, we hope that there'll be like space for you to do that. And it's like
their vagueness was kind of just really annoying throughout this whole podcast. Just especially when they were asked about FPS, and they were like reasonable cap, and then they refused to give a number.
No,
the whole point of a cap is you're supposed to have a number.
Well, and if you're specifically, this really bugged me, and I'm really glad you pointed it out. If you are hosting a podcast episode specifically to talk about this event, then you come on and you deflect the responsibility for the event is the first thing you do. And then you purport to be answering all these questions and you have like, you just don't have answers. How, like, even if you're not running the event, how do you not go into recording this podcast knowing they had the list of questions in front of them?
And they had apparently they were like, I don't know what the exact cap is. That implies that it's just like they just forgotten and it's somewhere off screen and they didn't bother to go get it.
If Dart Wars is running the event and picking the cap and you're about to record a podcast episode, go ask them what it is first.
Yeah, it just seems like poor planning almost. I don't understand.
Beyond poor planning.
Yeah.
It's practically it's negligence.
It's wild to me.
Because people will show up thinking that their blaster might be okay, and it'll be told no.
Exactly.
It's going to happen.
That, well, and they address that, too. And they're like, luckily, we'll have plenty of other blasters. It's like, yeah, but if someone is flying to your event, and they suggest that it's like, they're suggesting that it's worth flying to, questionable, but you're packing and bringing that stuff is challenging. It's hard work, and doing all this work tuning and prepping stuff, and then to get there and not be able to use it, you know, like, HVZs really spend time trying to avoid that possibility and like really communicate things clearly. They spend a lot of effort communicating about those kinds of things. So I guess that's really just
it rubbed me the wrong way.
The podcast felt, this podcast episode to me, all of the time and effort they spend talking about this and not actually having the information to present, it's really frustrating, especially considering how much work community members put in to similar community run events to avoid those problems. And the amount of money I also had a note at the top of this. They changed their camera angles. They changed the color balance on the video for some reason. And you can see OBS on a monitor through the studio window. Like it seems like it's a music studio space. And you can see the engineer computer through the window running OBS. And just the amount of money that clearly goes into producing this podcast. And it just feels like they're very unprepared. You know, like if you're going to come on and have an off the cuff discussion, cool. But if you're going to come on and purport to answer a bunch of questions, there's no reason not to have the answers.
Yeah.
Especially considering that our budget is like negative dollars.
Literally, our budget does not exist. We don't have one of those.
And we do our freaking best that we can to try to answer as much as possible. It's because it's such a disservice. If you're going to try to be saying that you're here to help people, or you're here to answer questions, or you're here to, for whatever reason, and you don't deliver on any of it, that is such a disservice, because you are now wasting someone's time. People's time is still worth something. Whether they're doing something else and they have you on in the background, they could have been listening to something else that might have made them more productive. Like, even then, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
I think it's especially frustrating, especially, let me just say especially a few more times. I think it's especially frustrating, you know, when we're out here re-recording segments four times to make sure that we have the correct information, because we know that we'll get some thousands of views on a video, and we want to have the right information in there, because we don't want to spread misinformation and we don't want to cause confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And they are putting a lot more money and effort into something and not delivering that. Anyway, that's all. I just kind of wanted to get that out there and sort of do a quick look back on that. I have a lot of questions about how they're running this event. I certainly would like to see Dart Zone have a series of events like this, even if they function largely as like marketing for Dart Zone. But if they're going to go around and put money into local organizations that run events and bring gear and stuff, cool. That's great. That supports the hobby. Even if they're using it as an advertising opportunity, I think that's really cool. But like, I don't know what they're trying to prove by trying to back it up with this podcast that just seems extremely poorly planned and causes, honestly, to me, more confusion.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
And on that note, I still have to finish the episode, and we are just over an hour. And with editing, I think it'll be under an hour or at an hour.
Really?
So I'm going to call that a podcast. Oh, cool. Anybody got anything special going on this week that they want to plug?
I'm going to go contract at least three diseases by eating the hot glue that I thrifted at the Goodwill outlet today.
Incredible.
I have a birthday stream coming up this Saturday, actually. So the day that this is being released, it is my birthday stream. So
you can look forward to you saying it is my birthday stream becoming my next sound alert.
God, it's going to be the sound alert before it's even my birthday.
For reference, it is a joke on Vile's stream that it is always his birthday, and we will never shut up and stop telling him happy birthday, even though it is not his birthday.
Damn you all.
So anyway, thanks for that. I was like trying to come up with clever ways to try to get you to say it's my birthday, and you just gave it to me. So I really appreciate that. That's super helpful.
Damn it.
All right.
All right,
so everybody, make sure to check out Vile's birthday. Wait, what's the actual date of it?
It is June 3rd.
Okay, June 3rd. Be sure to be there. Vile's birthday stream on Saturday, June 3rd.
Over on Twitch.
Wait, that's today.
That is today.
If you're listening to this podcast. So go to twitch.tv/ViLeMods right now. Right this very minute.
I'll be streaming, we'll see you there. I promise.
Do it or it'll personally haunt you from your closet.
Fabulous.
Awesome.
All right. Good night, y'all. Good job.
Thank you.